الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وبعد. Sorry for coming late. This is the 12th class. Where did we leave off, Elias?
حديث عادة. Okay. حديث غريب.
طيب. Actually, I have an entire lecture just about Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, but because we're running kind of late, I mean, getting kind of behind in the class, we'll not do it, but someday in the mosque, as a general lecture, maybe I will give it. We're talking about the, what is the level of ilm that different hadith possess. And we said mutawatir, if a hadith is mutawatir, then it comes under these two categories. علم القطع اليقيني أو علم اليقيني الضروري. يعني they basically they are stating that they are definitive confirmed knowledge which no Muslim should doubt. And we also said that when it comes to mutawatir hadith, you don't have to go through those five conditions that we mentioned. يعني mutawatir hadith. You remember those, don't you, Ahmed? متواتر.
العلم اليقين الضروري. علم القطع اليقين and علم اليقين الضروري. العلم اليقيني الضروري.
اليقين is correct.
Okay, so العلم.
Actually, it's not العلم. But anyway. No, we don't care about grammar. طيب, then we said that أذي حديث أو أحد. We talked about in البخاري and Muslim, many of the hadith are in meaning they are mutawatir. Okay, we discussed all that. We came to this point that ahad hadith, there are four types. Okay, mashhur, mustafid, aziz. Can't even read my own handwriting. Maghrib. Okay.
What's the second one?
Mustafid. Mustafid.
By the way, what's the difference between him and Qatar?
Basically, there's very little difference between these two, except for when they say a bururi, they mean yani it is something that every Muslim should know. It doesn't need any investigation. It is clear to everyone. Okay. Now, the way they usually define these terms is. Gharib, it usually means that in one of the links of the chain or one of the tabaqat, there's only one narrator. Okay? Gharib means in one of the tabaqat, there's only one narrator. So for example, if this is a hadith from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we have the Sahaba, Tabi'in, Tabi'in, so if we take this hadith and we study, for example, who narrated this hadith in each of the tabaqat or each of the generations, we find, for example, only one sahabi narrated it, four tabi'in knew it, 12 tabi'in, and so forth. Usually this is the way it is. So for example, one sahabi knew it and he narrated it to four people. Those four narrated it and so forth.
Yeah.
Hey, this is gharib. This type of isnad is gharib. Because in one of the tabaqat, there's only one narrator. It could be the opposite, but it's very strange. Very strange. This is really gharib. In this case. Gharib. Linguistic.
Huh? If only one narrator not had.
Yeah, it could be the case, for example, three Sahabi and one Tabi. What that means is this one Tabi, he heard it from three Sahaba, and he passed on. It's not common. Usually it's the other way. Okay?
How does it define the provocation?
Mm. The
time, by time?
Tabaqa is by class. Like the Sahaba, what Tabi'in, what Tabi'in.
Sahaba, okay. Sahaba.
Yeah. Sahaba, the period of Sahaba ends in 110 AH. This is the time in which the last Sahabi died.
Yeah, my boy was confused. Tabi'in.
Tabi'in is two categories: major or kubar, kabir, or minor. Major tabi'in are those who met many Sahaba. Minor are those who met just a few Sahaba. Okay. So the tabi'in are those people who met the tabi'in, and so on. Okay.
But hadith could three tabaqat be within 110?
Yes. Yeah.
That's 20. Clarify.
Yeah. For example. Zuhri, when he takes from the Sahaba, he took mostly from them mostly before this time. Right? So we're talking about the people, not the dates necessarily. Who are the people in the chain? Because as I mentioned, the hadith we discussed earlier today has two Sahaba in the chain. Right? Muhammad ibn Jubair and his father. So both of those are from the same tabaqat.
But you still consider Rawi to be one.
Yes, if one heard it from the other one. In other words, if it's something like this, if it's something like one Sahabi passed on to another Sahabi, and then to three, then we still say this is only one in the first tabaqat. Yeah. They have to hear it independently of each other for it to be more than one.
Do you have a special name for chain 211? To Harib?
I don't think so. No. There's an example of Mudabbaj. People from the same tabaqat narrating from each other.
So the finish of time is until for Sahaba, until 190.
110.
110.
That's the time when the last Sahabi died. This is the stuff that I said we'll not go over, but you'll find it in the text. And I gave you the page numbers. The most famous example of a gharib hadith is what? MashaAllah. Okay, what's the isnad? Umar ibn Khattab. Okay, Umar, who is after Umar? Who narrated from Umar? It was, I believe, Alqama narrated from Umar, then Ibrahim al-Nakhai from Umar, and then Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan. So we have Alqama to Nakhai to Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan.
So we have three. Huh?
He's Sahabi, he's Tabi, he's also Tabi.
And the other one between Yahya
al-Qama. Ibrahim al-Qama is Tabi.
The other one is Tabi.
Yeah.
The other one is Tabi.
No, Yahya ibn Sa'id is Tabi.
So it's not only Sahad because of Umar.
It is because of Umar, he is the only Sahabi that we know who narrated this hadith. And the only one who narrated at least through authentic chains from Umar is Al-Qama, and from him Ibrahim al-Nakhai. So the first three links, this is gharib because of the first three links. From Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan we have 700 chains for this hadith. So it went from one to one to one to Yahya ibn Sa'id, who made it very famous.
So,
did the Ahad Gharib? Yani, Gharib, Aziz, and Mashur, these are all types of Ahad Hadith.
Don't mention Ahad and Gharib.
No, you don't have to. If it's Gharib, by definition, it's Ahad. If it's Ahad, by definition, it's either going to be Gharib, Aziz, or Mashur, or Mustafid.
But it's considered to be
Sahih, obviously. No. Yani, it's a Hadith like this, you study it, you apply the five conditions, does it meet the five conditions? Then it's Hadith Sahih. And this Hadith is Sahih, it is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim.
You
mentioned it. Aywa.
When you say hadith mutawatir, you are telling me it's sahih, but when you say ahad, meaning gharib or mashur or mustabith, you are not telling anything about whether it's sahih.
Yes, you have to study it. You have to study those definitions. And if you say mutawatir, it means it is automatically sahih. It is like the Quran. Well, if you say it is ahad, either gharib or aziz, it means you have to study it. Could be weak, it could be strong. Yani so many people narrate in each of the tabaqat that there's no yani no way they could have yani forged this hadith or come together to make this hadith, or all of them have made the same mistake in the hadith. It's not possible.
Does that mean many tabaqat?
No. What do you mean by many tabaqat? Many people in each tabaqat. Many sahaba, like the example man kadhaba alayhi muta'ammidan, something like 82 sahaba narrated that hadith. Well, Aziz,
is it possible to clarify more the difference between mutawatir or formal definition of mutawatir?
As I said, there's no any actual formal definition of a minimum number. Just that so many people narrated it, and there's no doubt about the fact that they did not any get together to fabricate it, and there's no doubt that they could have made the same mistake, all of them. Therefore, any it raises to what they call mutawatir. But Ibn Taymiyyah's definition of mutawatir is somewhat unique. He includes many hadith which other ulama will not consider mutawatir. And he raises the hadith mutawatir if it's sometimes by the person who narrated. If some people like Imam Malik and Imam Shafi and scholars, alayhi wasalam, scholars of hadith narrated like that, he considers it mutawatir. But this is, by the way, an example of a hadith which is gharib and also mustafid. Mustafid is a term, actually you'll just find it among the Hanafis. Okay? They are the only ones who use this term. Who is the Hanafi representative here? Alhamdulillah? Oh, Kanan is for sure Hanafi. This is a Hanafi term, mustafid. Mustafid. Okay. What they mean by that term is a hadith which was less than mutawatir, okay, but became very famous, very well known, like this hadith. Okay. They would call this hadith mustafid. So in the Hanafi fiqh, mustafid has a special ranking. It is considered stronger than aziz or gharib, for example. It is a hadith which is originally either gharib or aziz, and then after some of the, during the first three generations, it became mustafid or well known.
Like hadith Omar.
Yeah, I'm saying this is an example of it.
Originally either gharib or aziz.
Yeah. Could be also mashur, yeah. Hanafis are the only ones who use this term. The only ones.
Then to them this hadith is mustafid.
Yes, they would call this mustafid.
Okay.
Especially if it became famous within the first three generations. Okay, the Hanafis stress the first three generations.
Why? What's their argument?
Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the best generation is mine, then the one after it, then the one after it. Okay, so they say that these are the best generations, and the yani the amount of lying in this kind of thing is not like it was in later years. Okay, so if a hadith, yani basically they're talking actually about hadith which during the first three generations, even though it started out gharib, became very famous. So it has a special ranking in their usul. Well, the next one is the aziz. The only difference between aziz and gharib, in the case of gharib, we said in one of the tabaqat there's only one narrator. In the case of aziz, in one of the tabaqat there's only two narrators. In other words, for example, two sahabi narrated from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. After that maybe 10 tabi'in and 20 tabi'in. But in one of the tabaqat only two people are found. Stronger than gharib. Yeah, from that aspect. Well, mashhur is three in one of the tabaqat, just three in one of the tabaqat. Like for example, three sahabi, or four sahabi and then just three tabi'in, Well, in general, they consider anything after that mutawatir.
Can you explain Aziz again?
Aziz is in one of the tabaqat, either Sahaba or Tabi'in or Tabi Tabi'in, there's only two people who narrated this hadith. Only two. Okay. Yani mutawatir is at least two. Right? Only two. I'm saying by at least two. I'm just trying to get to that point that at least two is not the proper way to say it. So usually when they define it this way, then they say if there's four in every tabaqat, we call it mutawatir. Yeah, that's the way most of the muhaddithin explain it, although it is not probably not exactly satisfactory.
We are talking about only three of it.
Three in one of the tabaqat, in just one of the tabaqat.
And for those four,
we are not talking about rejected narrators. Okay, we're talking about acceptable narrators in each of the tabaqat. In other words, if three liars or four liars in each generation narrated, doesn't make it mutawatir.
Sure.
No.
What about the Kalim al-Sahih?
What's that?
Are all those hadith sahih?
No. Yani, these, you mean? These three?
Before. Yeah, three.
Okay. And these three, you have to study them to see if they meet the conditions that we mentioned earlier today.
But they can be sahih.
A hadith which is gharib can be sahih or da'if. Hadith which is aziz can be sahih or da'if. Same for mashhur. Mashhur is not likely, but it could be. No. Five conditions. The chain has to be unbroken. Every narrator has to be adil. Every narrator has to be loved. There can be no shudud and no illa. You can guess what those two are.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's very unlikely to be liars.
It's very unlikely because you have at least three people in every one of the chains, every one of the tabqas supporting each other. Yeah. Most of the difference of opinion whether hadith is sahih or da'if, we're talking about hadith of this category. Aziz al-Gharib. Now.
When you say tabaqat, starting from tabi'in or even sahaba?
Starting from what?
From tabi'in or even
sahaba? Sahaba, even sahaba.
This. You have to mean.
What do you mean?
I mean, only can. One sahabi could have been only with Prophet, not anyone.
For example, the hadith of Innama al-A'malu binniyat, we only have it authentically from one sahabi, that's Umar. This is just before you came, we discussed this hadith. Umar is the only sahaba who narrated it, at least that we have it authentically from him. Now some people will argue that hadith is not ghareeb because Umar ibn al-Khattab narrated it actually during khutbah in front of many of the sahaba, and none of them rejected it or said this is not right. But from hadith point of view, it is still considered gharib. Okay, now these three categories are ahad. Now we still have to come back to the question of what is the level of ilm now, not the mutawatir hadith, but of ahad hadith. Two A's to make you happy. Now, you have a headache? Me too. So, do you think that they are of this level? Ahad hadith. Okay, the first people who to question Ahad hadith were the Mu'tazila. And those people who are questioning them today, they're actually following the madhab of the Mu'tazila.
Huh?
And they're thinking? For sure.
The question, if there are people who do not want to rely on ahad, does it mean that automatically they are mu'tazila?
I said that this thinking originated from them.
Yeah, but if
and those who say it are following the thinking of the mu'tazila.
They are talking about all ahad.
Yes.
His mind probably a specific ahad hadith that some ulama said something recently about.
No, I'm talking about ahad hadith in general. To say we only accept mutawatir hadith. Okay, or we only accept in Aqidah, we only accept Mutawatir Hadith, we don't accept Ahad Hadith in Aqidah. This is yani from Al Mu'tazila, this idea. Okay.
Why did they say that?
Why did they say that? Yeah. Yani mostly because they were philosophers. What's the
principle?
No, but yani the reason is because they are philosophers and yani
they have argument for
that. Huh?
What is their argument for that?
Their argument is that yani it is something dhanni. Okay. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many times in the Quran criticize those people who follow what is dhanni. Okay? But the problem, dhan can have many meanings in the Arabic language. Dhan is in English speculative, let's call it. Yani not confirmed. But as I said, dhan in the Arabic language can have many meanings. Okay. One of them is, I'm going the opposite way. One of them is something that has no basis whatsoever. Okay. And no proof for it, no reason to follow it, no basis whatsoever. That is what the Quran is criticizing people for. And to follow things that they have no reason to follow, no basis for, no revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no guidance concerning. The other extreme is
yaqeen.
That dhan can mean yaqeen or certainty, something known for sure.
A certain degree of yaqeen.
No, it means yaqeen.
Equal.
Yes.
Like what?
In the Quran. إِنَّهُمْ يَدُنُّونَ
And
think about
another ayah. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّ مَنْ جَاءَ مِنَ اللَّهِ
إِلَيْهِ يعني ظن can mean يقين. No, that's something else. And because they said ظني, and they are taking ظن as meaning this. يعني they are what they're doing is they're saying the Quran tells us not to follow ظن. These hadith are ظني, so therefore we should not follow them. Huh? Yeah, in other words, they are making it biased. They're just taking one meaning of the word dhan.
Okay.
Another type of dhan, or in between those, is a dhan which is yani rajah, yani the stronger. well, to preponderance of the evidence. Jareed. Okay.
Can you pause? Can you come? We're getting the answer.
Who was it to look? Yani, Adhan. Adhan al-Rajah. طيب. This kind of dhan, okay, this is something yani we are not certain about, but the preponderance or the evidence or the majority of the evidence tells us that it's true. In other words, in the courts here, the United States courts, if you're on the jury, if the preponderance of the evidence shows that the person is guilty, you must vote for him to be guilty. Okay? And also in fiqh, if the preponderance of the evidence shows something, you have to act according to that evidence. Okay? And in fiqh, much of the things, many things you'll find are dhanni, but they are this type of dhanni. And the preponderance of the evidence shows it to be correct, so it is obligatory on the Muslims to follow this type of dhanni.
الراجح شيء يعني نسبي ولا شيء ثابت؟ أنا تفيد
ولا relative to what؟ يعني relative to other evidence against it. يعني. For example, okay, when we say a hadith is sahih, when we say a hadith is sahih, we're saying that it meets those five conditions, meaning we are certain, to a large extent, we are certain, yani, to a large extent, that this hadith has been properly preserved from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what we're saying when we say that hadith is sahih, we are saying that it meets this category. And that is why it is obligatory on the Muslims to believe in and follow any hadith which is sahih, graded by the ulama of hadith as sahih. Actually, I wasn't planning on getting into this, but somehow we got into it. Is that clear? Yani, I'm saying that if the hadith is sahih, it meets at least this criteria. At least. So it's obligatory on the Muslims to believe in it and follow it. Okay. But many hadith have some external or corroborating evidence. Okay, that raise it from this level. Okay. Yes. يعني بالقرائن. Okay. يعني by external or supporting evidence, the hadith is raised from this level to a stronger level. Okay. An example of those hadith. Example of those hadith are the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. We'll discuss them in a little more detail in a few minutes, but now, every hadith is, that is considered Sahih by the ulama is at least this much. Okay? Dhanna Rajah. Yeah, if we have supporting evidence, it raises it. Like, for example, the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, as I mentioned the other day in the mosque, and they were just taking from the top level or the best hadith available. So the ulama of hadith, like Ibn Salah, out of all of the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, 210 have been criticized. Okay. 210 have been criticized. We'll get to them in a few minutes. Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. 210 hadith out of about 5,000 or between almost 6,000 hadith. 210 have been criticized. And we'll mention what kind of criticism they met. But the scholars of hadith like Ibn Salah, to be on the safe side, they say that besides these few that have been criticized, there is ijma' of the ulama of hadith. There is ijma' of the ulama of hadith that all of the hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim are sahih. So ijma' of ulama hadith is one of those external evidence. Ijma', yani all the scholars agreeing that these hadith are sahih, is a type of external evidence that raises the hadith or the level of those hadith from being dhan rajah to being al-ilm al-yaqini al-nazari. Ayo.
Now what is it which is raised, the 210 hadith?
No, except for these 210 hadith. Okay, these 210 stay in this category. All the others that the ulama of hadith are agreed upon. And when the ulama of a science agree upon something, it's obligatory on the non-scientist or the non-specialist.
2,000 minus the 210 are an ilm al yaqeen
and nadhari. Now. You're right.
It's
the same as Baruch.
Okay, what's the difference between this one and this one? العلم اليقيني الضروري and العلم اليقيني النظري. What's the difference between them? I'll tell you that it's not accepted for any Muslim to reject either one of them. But what's the difference between them?
العلم اليقيني النظري is there to work.
Hmm?
We can know which hadiths are
علم. These hadiths that there's ijma of the ulama that they are authentic.
You want to guess or?
Hmm? Sure.
I think Daruri everybody has to know.
What?
Daruri.
Hey, what?
Every Muslim should know. Al-Nadari.
يعني yeah. ضروري يعني the every Muslim يعني there's no excuse for any Muslim to not know this ضروري. Okay. النظري يعني needs some knowledge, some investigation. In other words, the scholars know this for sure. Okay. That's the difference between علم اليقين الضروري وعلم اليقين النظري. This is everyone. But with respect to this part, العلم اليقيني, they are both the same. So in other words, no especially non-specialist in hadith has the right to say that these hadith are not authentic, because there's ijma' of the ulama. This ijma' is external evidence that raises it from being أخذنا الرجح to being العلم اليقيني النظر. And he may be excused for rejecting those hadith because he's not a specialist in hadith and he doesn't realize the position they have, as opposed to this. If someone says there's no prayer five times a day, he's kafir immediately. Because it's something yani everyone knows. But this is something else. Yani it requires some knowledge, some study. Which are in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Their only excuse is their ignorance. And if they do not realize what these hadith are. And if you study, for example, these hadith and how al-Bukhari and Muslim and al-Bukhari, he said he knew 100,000 hadith which are authentic, and yet in his Sahih al-Bukhari he only included about 4,000 hadith, and he was just taking the cream of the crop. Ikhlas al-Zibda, the cream of the crop. Al-Qat'i al-Yaqini is divided into two types, this type and that type. This type.
What about we have no hadith ahad in Bukhari that they have done it dalala, done it
tabut. Okay, we're not talking about dalala. That's next fall. Talking about tabut. Except for these hadith, which as I said, we will discuss, none of them are dhanni tabut. None of them. Okay, because of this Qur'an. But the ulama of hadith accepted. You see, Imam al-Bukhari, yani we're not talking about his own ijtihad. But al-Bukhari, he took his collection to Ahmad ibn Hanbal, to Ali ibn al-Madini, to Abu Zur'a, and had them look at them. Had them look at his collection. And they accepted all of his hadith except three. Well, it's not clear whether he took those hadith out or not. But anyway, the point is that it's not just al-Bukhari saying this is authentic, but also you have those other ulama. Similar with in the case of Imam Muslim. He took his book to Abu Zur'a, one of the experts in adl, or defects that we mentioned earlier. And any hadith that Abu Zur'a had the slightest doubt, he took it out. If Abu Zur'a mentioned anything about any hadith, he just took it out. Because he wanted the collection yani to be the strongest yani hadith. If you look in Kitab al-Salat, Bab al-Tashahud in Sahih Muslim, you'll find a hadith that Imam Muslim recorded, and then someone asked him, what about the hadith of Abu Huraira? Isn't it also authentic? Well, Imam Muslim answered him, he said, yes, it is authentic in my opinion, but I'm only including those hadith in which there's ijma' or that the ulama are agreed upon are authentic. So when we talk about Sahih Muslim, Sahih al-Bukhari, we're not talking about independent ulama making ijtihad. We're actually talking about what the scholars of hadith at that time agreed upon as authentic. Anyway.
Now, is there a section in the 6,000 hadith minus the 10, the 210, mm-hmm. that belong to the Ibn Yaqin al-Daruri?
Oh yes, yes. Earlier today we mentioned that many of these hadith are also mutawatir. Okay? If they are mutawatir, they go into this category.
No.
We're even missing still someone. So, have any questions about this? Yeah, this is getting into usul al-fiqh, but it's a little bit important. Okay, we'll get to them. We'll discuss them in more detail. Okay, before discussing the books of Sahih Hadith, okay, before discussing the books of Sahih Hadith, let's just mention two other terms. One is Sahih, Lidatihi, and the other one is Sahih, Lighayrihi. Jared, leave the new student alone. One is Sahih Lidatihi, the other one is Sahih Lighayrihi. Sahih by itself. Sahih because of others. What do we mean by these two terms?
The title
of section pattern. Before going to...
Are you answering my question or are you...
The title of this section?
The title of this section is there are two terms, we want to define them. One is Sahih لذاته, the other one is Sahih لغيره. Easy, خلاص. The engineer.
لذاته means that an idiot or عادل and everything is all conditions.
How many conditions are there, Ahmed?
Five.
Meets the five conditions. By itself. Okay, what's Sahih لغيره?
Other chain support this.
Okay. Does it meet the five conditions?
No.
Does not meet all the five conditions. Okay. This is a hadith which is a little bit less than Sahih by itself. But due to supporting evidence, or corroborating evidence, actually. Corroborating evidence. We raise it to the level of Sahih. Okay. In Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, you'll find both kinds. Okay. An example of a hadith which is Sahih li ghayrihi. Somewhere here. An example of hadith which is Sahih لغيره is the Prophet said that if it were not to be a hardship upon my ummah, I would order them to use the miswak before every salah. Okay. Tis one of the narrators, his name is Muhammad ibn Amr. But one of the narrators, his name is Muhammad ibn Amr. He is obviously he's going to be adil, right? But he is a little bit, yani, when it comes to dhabitsi, he's a little bit less, not from the top. Okay? But he is not the only one who narrated the hadith. Many other people narrate the same hadith, and they support each other, and we raise this hadith to this level called Sahih Dalaihi. Yes, other chains. Yeah, supporting Muhammad ibn Amr. So therefore we raise it to Sahih al-Ghayri.
Muhammad ibn Amr?
Amr. طيب, هذا clear, huh? So I said you'll find both kinds in Sahih al-Bukhari.
I mean,
huh? We'll get to Hassan. That's why I didn't even say it. I did not call it Hassan. Fine. Okay. The first one, the first person to collect a book of just authentic hadith was Imam al-Bukhari. No. What is the name of his book?
Al-Muslim.
Begins with Al. There's something before that. Something. Yeah, I think it's not there. It just wrote Sahih Bukhari. Okay, the first word. That's not there. It's not a book of Rijal. The first word in the definition, in the title, implies that this book contains hadith on every aspect of the deen.
Al-Jama'.
Okay. Al-Jama'. Next.
Al-Jama'
al-Musnad. Sahih al-Musnad. Jama' sahih.
Jama' sahih.
Yeah. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. صحيح. What else? المختصر.
هذا مع أسماء الكتب.
T. That's a T. المختصر what? من?
Under which paragraph are you talking about?
In which paragraph? Paragraph 6, section
E-248. And what's the title?
We're talking about the first person to collect a collection of hadith of just authentic hadith. This is al-Bukhari. And the name of his book is Jam' al-Musnad, Sahih al-Mukhtasar min...
What about Hamim ibn Sa'id?
Min Sunan Rasulullah wa Murihi wa Ayamihi. Or Ayamihi wa Murihi.
Sunan
dot dot dot. I don't remember which. Actually, it's written right here, but anyway.
We had a khatra about this one.
Big khatra.
Sorry?
He just mentioned the exact name of the
Bukhari. This one's it? When?
Oh, it's kind of activity, but he meant that in.
But so from the title of the book, what do we get? Al-Jama' means it covers hadith concerning every aspect of the deen. Iman, wa fiqh, wa things about Yawm al-Qiyamah. Al-Musnad al-Sahih, they two go together. What does Al-Musnad mean?
It means it goes back to the Prophet.
What does Musnad mean?
No.
Musnad has... It means two things. Musnad means two things. I'm giving up on you folks. So. It means it is marfu'a and muttasil. If you say something as Musnad in this terminology, there's another terminology we'll get to later. In this terminology, Musnad means it is marfu'a and it has an unbroken chain. What does this mean?
What does it mean, marfu'a?
Huh? I thought you were raising your hand. Marfu'a means it goes, yani it is traced back to the Prophet.
Does that mean because it is said, by
Allah? Traced back to the Prophet. With an unbroken chain, in this case.
Does that mean
that anything that it's a
Sahaba statement or something?
No. It will not be... You're talking about definition of Musnad?
No, I mean the Sahih al-Bukhari.
No. That's not what I mean. Okay, as I said, a Sahih goes with this. And I was hoping to get the question while the tape was off. Mutawatir means it's narrated by many people in each of the tabaqat. Muslims, we're talking about one chain that's unbroken and it goes all the way back to the Prophet. Okay.
If I don't have my notes here, how do you say in the second lecture or the audience that the first one is a book حمام.
الصحيفة حمام. صحيفة.
Yes.
Yes. No. صحيفة.
So it's an authentic book.
Yes, it's an authentic book. But يعني his intention يعني was just he was just taking the hadith that Abu Huraira passed on to him. But this is the first person who had the intention to go to the hadith that by his time they were weak in an authentic hadith and to make a collection of just authentic hadith from his time. Now, a sahih, as I said, goes with this. It's a very important point. And it's saying that all of the musnad hadith are sahih in this collection. All of the musnad hadith are sahih in this collection. Not only, but definitely. Now he's saying that all of the musnad and hadith in this collection meet the conditions for sahih hadith. Okay. And Mukhtasar, what does this mean?
Not all of them.
Of course.
This meaning has special meaning for hadith, special hadith called marfu.
Any hadith which is traced back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be called marfu.
Information that Allah mentioned, they didn't say Qala Rasulullah, but this information
cannot
be
known as
marfu.
No, yeah, okay, we'll discuss that when we discuss marfu in general, but there's something, for example, if the Sahaba said, if one of the Sahaba said that on the day of judgment such and such will happen, okay, obviously this information cannot be from his head, okay, and this is not something you can make ijtihad about. So in those areas that you cannot make ijtihad, if the Sahaba said something, then the ruling, or we consider that statement as being from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they say the hukum of that statement is that it is marfu'ah, or it is from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yeah. Especially in tafsir, that's quite often you'll see that. Yeah. What does this mean? Okay. Yani he's already telling us right there that this is Mukhtasr. Okay. Now there's many times you'll read, and I've seen it many times, especially in newspapers and magazines nowadays and books. Sometimes when they talk about a specific hadith, they say one of the criticisms they have of the hadith, they say this hadith is not sahih, it was not included by al-Bukhari or Muslim. This is incorrect, because this was not their intention to include all of the hadith which were sahih. And they are making a type of tabliz, because I'm sure in most cases the one who wrote it knows that it doesn't mean anything. But he thinks the one who reads it will be fooled by it. And because sometimes we're talking about people who have PhDs and sometimes even in hadith, and they make statements like this.
Sahih doesn't mean that
it's been
narrated in
the Sahih. No. Sahih is just a special collection.
Yeah. Sahih.
Yes, this is not correct. Al-Mukhtasr. Aywa. Al-Jama means that it is a collection of hadith that includes hadith about all the aspects of the deen. As opposed to, for example, a sunan. Okay. A sunan in general applies to collections of hadith that are hadith ahkam. Oops. Quranic writing. Yeah.
How can the jama
and jama just means that it can include hadith about iman, about fiqh, about munaqib, about Fadal al-Sahaba, about, okay? Mukhtasr, yani if Mukhtasr means not in with respect to subject, but with respect to the authentic hadith that are out there. In other words, there's many authentic hadith that he did not include in this book.
Regarding the same aspect.
Yeah, it could be regarding the same, regarding the same topics.
And he didn't use this word to mention that probably there are many other hadiths.
Not probably. Yani he said that what I've left out of this book is much more than what I've included. Yeah, of authentic hadith. Yani he wanted a book that would be readable, carryable. طيب اوكي من سنن رسول الله وأيامه وأموره
وأيامه
وأموره ايوه something like that. The number of hadith in Sahih Bukhari without any taking out the repetitions, because as I mentioned earlier today, I think Al-Bukhari was faqih, and one of the methods he used in his book of hadith is that he would put the sometimes, yani for example, he's talking about some aspects of salat. For example, how to make ruku' on the salat. There might be one hadith that describes the whole salat, but in that chapter, he'll just take part of that hadith which is related to ruku', and he'll put it there. And then when he comes to the sajda, how to make sajda, he'll take the part of that hadith related to sajda and put it there. When it comes to what to say in the tashahhud, he'll take that part of the hadith and put it there. So, actually he's using the same hadith in three different places. Or more. So there's lots of repetition. You'll find the same hadith, or different parts of the hadith in many different places in the book. So without repetition, there are approximately 4,000 hadith in Sahih Bukhari. Okay. Now remember this point, and we'll discuss it. Well, why don't we discuss it now? Now we'll discuss it. We'll discuss it in a few minutes. Remember these two terms. Okay. Musnad al-Sahih. Okay, they're very important with respect to Sahih al-Bukhari. طيب. The second person. No. Anything wrong with that? So, we fought with the Turks a long time ago anyway. That's why they're Muslim now. But the second one to make a collection of Sahih Hadith was Al-Bukhari student Imam Muslim. What's the name of Imam Muslim's book?
Al-Jam'a
al-Muslim. Al al-Tariq. He was not yani as deep as his sheikh. It's just called Al-Jam'a al-Sahih. This is the collection by Imam Muslim. And even yani he did not put even the chapter titles. He just yani it is just hadith from the beginning to the end. There's no chapter titles, no division, nothing.
Without any alphabetic order.
No, it is in fiqh order, but without any chapter titles. If you pick up any collection of Sahih Muslim nowadays, you'll see chapter titles and chapter titles and kada. Those chapter titles were added by later scholars, in particular An-Nawawi. Okay, An-Nawawi went through Sahih Muslim and added chapter titles every so often.
But for Bukhari, he made it.
No, Bukhari made his own.
From the beginning.
No.
Muslim was faqih.
نعم. طيب. The number of hadith. نعم. نعم. No. Doesn't mean. But he just didn't put it in the title. Yes, he mentioned it in the introduction, and also, as I said, in Kitab al-Salat, Bab al-Tashahud, you'll also find a statement from him saying that he did not include all the hadith that were sahih, but only those hadith that were agreed upon by the scholars. Now.
No, this was Laila in Allah.
No. Yeah. Before that, inshallah. So the hadith, by the way, which is found in both Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, is called what? Okay. Dabqan Ali. Meaning what? Okay. It means explicitly that the Bukhari and Muslim agreed upon it, but implicitly it implies the whole Ummah agrees upon it. Because, as I mentioned earlier, the ulama of hadith agree upon it with the Bukhari and Muslim, or therefore the whole Ummah have to follow their decision. No difference.
You told me that the Muslim is a student of
Al-Bukhari now.
And the question why in the book of Muslim there are hadiths that were not present in the book of Al-Bukhari and vice versa?
Well, for the major reason, because they're both mukhtasar.
So one means his own head to get these and get rid of the others, and the other made his own.
It doesn't mean that those hadiths that Al-Bukhari did not include are not sahih.
But the question you told that there are reasons to put some, and
but those reasons do not okay, there's about 4,000 hadith in Sahih Bukhari. In Sahih Muslim there's also, yeah, do you have the exact? No, it is also, and it is around 5,000 hadith, let's say. Okay, between them there's about something like 2,500 hadith which are common between them. Okay, that's why some people say Sahih Muslim is the mustakhraj of Sahih Bukhari, but that is not correct. Now, so that means there's 2,500 hadith here that you find in Muslim, you'll not find in Al-Bukhari. Okay, does not mean that Al-Bukhari does not consider them authentic. Don't get that impression.
No, I didn't get that impression. But the question, why he made his own mukhtasar this way, and the other he added and he subtracted some of Al-Bukhari.
Why
is it right?
Why not?
Now, he did not start with Al-Bukhari's book and say, let's work with that. Now, he just made his own collection from his own shuyukh. And in fact, there's no hadith, by the way, in Sahih Muslim from Muslim and Al-Bukhari.
I know, but at the time they were together and he's one of his
students.
Yeah. And the question...
And he made an independent collection of hadith which he felt are at the top level of Sahih, that are important for the people to know.
And he contacted Bukhari about many hadith.
Ayo.
He
also Al-Bukhari, he was Al-Bukhari's student. When Al-Bukhari had the problem with Buhli, Buhli said, anyone who's going to study with Al-Bukhari, he should leave me. And my Muslim took all of his books, took it to him, and said, here you go, I'm going with Al-Bukhari.
Al-Buhli.
Al-Buhli.
Why is that?
Buhli said this about Al-Bukhari because he believed that Al-Bukhari believed that the Quran was created. Well, this is not what Al-Bukhari said. Some people twisted what Al-Bukhari said, and it led to this debate. Bukhari was thrown out of his city. Al-Bukhari even made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take his life.
Can you please go over these numbers again?
These are the numbers of hadith in Sahih Bukhari without repetition. This is the number of hadith in Sahih Muslim. Sahih Muslim is little repetition. This is common between them. Okay, for those of you who took Venn diagrams, you have 4,000 here total, 5,000 here total, and in the shaded area is 2,500. Okay, now the scholars of the West, in like Spain, for example, and Qurtubi, other scholars of that nature, they consider Sahih Muslim to be superior to Sahih Bukhari. While most of the scholars say Sahih Bukhari is superior to Sahih Muslim. And we can give...
What's the difference when they say?
Studying the two books. Yeah. Okay. I'll get to those scholars. As I said, most of the scholars, they say Sahih Bukhari is superior to Sahih Muslim. We have discussed the reasons why Sahih Bukhari is superior to Sahih Muslim. Okay? Okay. Number one, and in Bukhari and Muslim, they did not, yani they used many of the same narrators, but they did not always use the same narrators, right? They used many of the same narrators, but if you find someone in al-Bukhari, it doesn't mean necessarily it will be in Muslim. Right? Okay, so of those people that you'll only find in, you'll find 430 narrators only in al-Bukhari. Yani not in Muslim. 430 narrators, you'll find them in Bukhari, but not in Muslim. Okay? Out of these 430, 80 or 18% have had some discussion about them. Some discussion, some light discussion. Any earlier scholars of Jahwa Ta'deel. On the other hand, you can find 620 narrators only in Muslim and not in Sahih Bukhari.
So can you say 80 from scholars, and scholars have some questions about it?
Yes. And sometimes, by the way, al-Bukhari included them on purpose in his Sahih to show that the statements about them are unfounded. And I remember, for example, we said if someone is Shia, for example, he's from the Shia, someone may reject him just because he's Shia. So al-Bukhari might include him to show that he is tippa and he is acceptable. And what they're saying about him is not correct. They did that many times, al-Bukhari and Muslim. Okay? Out of these 620, 160 narrators, or 25%, have been, and he discussed. There's been some discussion about that. So from this statistic, we see that the narrators in general are safer in al-Bukhari than they are in Muslim. But there's some bias here. Okay? And that bias is that after al-Bukhari did his work, Muslim, yani when al-Bukhari included some people because there was some question about them to show that they are authentic, Muslim came along and did the same thing but for more people. Yani in other words, the people that beyond those that al-Bukhari mentioned. He did it on purpose. The same hadith, you'll find it in Sahih Bukhari with the top, the best chain. You'll find it in Sahih Muslim with a weaker chain, having one of these narrators to show that that narrator is in fact authentic. So there's some bias here. I mean, it was somewhat intentional, in other words, on Imam Muslim's part.
And what about the narrators, both of them? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, there's very little discussion about them.
How many?
How many what?
You say the four narrated only in al-Bukhari.
But you will not find in Muslim.
And 620 that you will not find in
Bukhari. Eh.
And how many that you
total?
Will find in both?
You will find it in the book.
Huh?
Yes, many.
How many in al-Bukhari?
I cannot tell you.
Can be found in both?
Cannot tell you off. Offhand, but you'll find it in the book called Jama' Bain al-Rijal al-Sahihain. Jama' Bain al-Rijal al-Sahihain. And there's also another difference here that makes this stronger than that, is that most of these narrators, who there's some question about in al-Bukhari, they are, and many of them are actually al-Bukhari's own teachers that he knew very well, that he studied with and knew them. And he knew their authentic hadith and he knew their character. Yeah, of course, out of these 80. I'm sorry. Out of these 80. Okay. Well, that was not the case necessarily with Imam Muslim with respect to these 160. So therefore also the certainty with respect to al-Bukhari is greater, I guess. Also, now remember, some of these again are because al-Bukhari or Muslim came after al-Bukhari. Al-Bukhari, if you remember our ranking of the narrators, of Ta'dil, of Taqa, or acceptable narrators, Al-Bukhari only took from the first class narrators in the principal part of his book. Okay. Principal. Well,
there's an end.
I'm not sure which principle should be. Which principle is it? The bottom one?
PLE.
We benefit from Adilah coming to class. Principal, yeah, he's your pal. That's how you remember it. But it also has other meaning. But anyway, and in the principal hadith, and he would use second class narrators. Second class, yani not like what it means nowadays, but go down to the next category, still there, yani the top level of Dawit or Adab, as supporting evidence. Okay.
What's the difference in conditions between classes?
Yeah?
What's the difference in conditions? What's the condition as a service, first class, second class?
Yani this first class, we're talking about those people who are like Imam Malik and Zuhri, yani the great scholars of hadith. These are people who rarely made mistakes, but they just did not get the fame as the top level. Imam Muslim, on the other hand, would use both of these classes for his principal hadith. And he would use third class for supporting evidence.
Something done intentionally.
Well, for sure it was done intentionally. And he didn't put the hadith in there and go, oh. Yeah, he could use better, maybe not on every hadith, but yeah.
Like the case of Bukhari, he could have used first class in all these out of 100,000,
and he should have. No. But there's no need to do that.
Yes, yeah, usually for the first
Now, yani one of the problems, there's scholars nowadays like Al-Albani who sometimes, and he goes to some of these hadith and he criticizes some of the hadith. And with respect to Al-Bukhari and Muslim, it is not that simple. Because as I said, these are hadith that were well known amongst the scholars at that time. Okay? And Imam Muslim, sometimes he would even record a weaker hadith, a weaker chain. Okay. Even though he knows a stronger chain, he would record the weaker chain, especially if the weaker chain is Ali or shorter. The ulama hadith, they like to get the shortest chain possible, be closer to Rasulullah. So one time Abu Zura criticized one of the hadiths in Sahih Muslim. And one of Abu Zura's students heard this and he went to Imam Muslim. And he asked him, why do you have this hadith through this chain? It's not a very strong chain. He said, I have this hadith through this chain only because it is Ali, it is shorter, and because this hadith is so well known among Ahl al-Ilm, that there's no reason to include the better chain. So yani, when we're talking about Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, we are actually talking about hadith that are well known amongst the ulama of hadith at that time as being authentic.
So he did not include, in other words, the stronger chain in the same book.
He did not include the stronger chain in the same book because it was so well known that he included the shorter chain even though it was weaker. So if someone comes along today and comes to Sahih Muslim and he looks at it and he says, oh, I think this narrator is a little bit weak and therefore this chain is weak and I don't accept this chain. And you can do that with the other books like Abu Dawud and others which do not claim to be authentic, all of it authentic, and which do not claim to be agreed upon by all the ulama. But you cannot do that with Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim because you're forgetting the circumstances behind the book.
What about the people who believe that Muslim is superior?
Yeah, I'll get to them. That's my people from Spain.
Probably from Tunisia.
In general, there's not many scholars from Tunisia.
You know, there are
I'm sorry?
Superior.
Superior. Aqwa. I hear they're talking about Aqwa. Okay, another reason. Number three. If you remember this earlier, with respect to Ma'an and Hadith. Right. What? What's the matter? Did I misspell it?
Na-na. Think about na-na.
Mu'ana.
That's a good question. You say that sometimes Muslims use the chain in order to show that the narrators are Latin or what?
Sometimes. But the example I gave is just because he wanted to put the shorter chain. And they prefer Ali to Nazr. The shorter chain. Not to say space, but they consider it, yani, you're closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they love to get the shortest change possible. Like some hadith al-Bukhari has, there's just two or three narrators between him and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They love this type of hadith.
So they want to have one narrator for each class?
Yani, the minimum that they can. No.
Huh?
What about...
Who's in that golden chain?
The golden chain, well, there's the short version and the long version. Ask later. Okay, with respect to Mu'anna and Hadith also, there's a little bit difference between Al-Bukhari and Muslim. You all know what Mu'anna and Hadith are. An-an. Okay.
An-an to the power
10. No. Actually, that's wrong. An to the power 1. It's a Hadith in which someone, one of the narrators, uses the word An. Okay, we discussed it earlier today. What's the problem with that?
One or more.
Possible tadlis. Okay. Now, for if you have x, we're going to switch x and y. X narrating from y. Both of them are thiqa.
Then accept not to be known.
I'm sorry.
He said you accept. I said no. I'm missing one.
Yeah, if they're both of them are thiqa and they do not commit to tadlis, in the international highway signs, they do not commit to tadlis. No tadlis. But if X and Y are thiqa, it is sufficient for Imam Muslim, yani for the preponderance of the evidence, okay? In other words, if they both lived at the same time and they had the possibility of meeting each other, Imam Muslim would consider this to be an unbroken chain.
How do they say that they commit to this?
Next class, or the one after next class.
So
they are both. Sometimes they're committing to this on purpose. Yeah, you don't like the word tadlis. Actually, most of the ulama hadith do not like the word. With respect to al-Bukhari, he had to prove or confirm that the narrators met. That the narrators actually met. Okay, had to prove that the narrators actually met.
In addition to being
thiqa and not being known. Hey, come on, yeah. This is given. Okay. So, he's putting a condition which is a little bit stricter than Imam Muslim. Now, the point that you should keep in mind, that this is not Al-Bukhari's definition of a Sahih Hadith. For Hadith to be Sahih, according to Imam Al-Bukhari, it does not have to meet this condition. To prove that the narrator is met. But for a hadith to be concluded in his book, Al-Jami' al-Sahih, it has to meet this condition. See the difference between the two? And these hadith are still sahih according to Imam al-Bukhari, but to be more careful, to be stricter, in his Jami' al-Sahih, he did not include them unless they met this condition. And some people get confused on this point. If you ask some people what's the difference between al-Bukhari and Muslim, they'll bring you this point. And they'll say that's the difference. No, there's many differences, and this one is actually a slight difference.
What is the difference
again? In the case of Imam Muslim, as long as he has evidence to show that they lived at the same time, they could have possibly met, they're both thiqa and they do not commit tadlis, that's sufficient for him to accept this as an unbroken chain. In the case of al-Bukhari, he has to have proof that they actually met. And it's just an extra condition, not for in al-Bukhari's mind for hadith to be sahih, but to include it in his jama' sahih.
So how did he make sure that the narrators have met together? Did he take the word of the narrator, for example?
Yani, it is known by, you weren't here many years ago. sometimes you know it by the writings on the notes, yani, that so-and-so were present in getting this hadith. Sometimes you know it by the terms that he uses. If he's taqa, and he says, haddathani so-and-so, this means he heard it directly from him, he got it directly from him. So he has some evidence that he uses. But this is one of the ways by which al-Bukhari was a little bit stricter than Imam Muslim. Ma'am, you have a question?
When they say this is hadith al-Ashat al-Bukhari, they say this.
We'll get to this. No, we'll get to this.
Sometimes they discuss it, and
they just, he proved that they were meant. We'll get to what they mean by that. Okay. And the last evidence, I think it's the last evidence. The last evidence that shows that al-Bukhari is superior to Muslim, Sahih Bukhari is superior to Sahih Muslim, is that from the two, it's number 5 in the book. In my book, it's number 4 because I skipped one. So you may put 4 or 5.
Why did you skip it?
It'd be too complicated for you people.
Thank you.
Now I merged it with another one. I just put it together with another one. But number 4, I mentioned earlier that there's 210 hadith from Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim that can be criticized. Of these 210 hadith, only 80 may be found in Sahih Bukhari. Okay. So with respect to those hadith which were criticized, and there are much fewer in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Another evidence that al-Bukhari was more exacting in his collection of hadiths.
You see the other 130 from...
130 plus. Because also some of these you will find in Sahih Muslim.
Both. Are they criticized?
We'll get to how they were criticized. Now those who say that Sahih Muslim is superior, they are not really talking about, well, to some extent they're talking about things related to science of hadith. Sahih Bukhari wrote his book mostly from memory. Sahih Muslim, Imam Muslim, wrote his book mostly from his notes. And one of the differences that led to is that Imam Muslim was very careful in pointing out any differences in wording and narration. Okay? And if you read a hadith in Sahih Muslim, many times after the hadith, he'll write that so-and-so also narrated it, but his wording was this. So-and-so narrated it, and he said it slightly differently. So-and-so narrated it. So, Sahih Muslim is very good at looking at how the different scholars narrate the hadith, while Sahih Bukhari, since he was doing it mostly from his memory, he did not keep these slight differences. And sometimes the slight differences are very slight. Someone said wa, the other one said fa, used fa instead of wa, but yani al-Muslim would note it. Okay? Also, from his memory. Not from his memory, from his notes.
So
that's one reason why, and that's one of the better aspects of Sahih Muslim. Another aspect is also he was very careful in differentiating between haddathana and akhbarana. Well, al-Bukhari was not always that careful. Sometimes he would intermix the two terms. Haddathana for Imam Muslim means what? It came through sama', yes. Haddathana is only used if the hadith came through sama', وأخبرنا is only used if it came through قراء or أرض. طيب والبخاري would sometimes mix the two terms. Thirdly, also for a beginner, for someone who is not that one aspect of Sahih Muslim is that he always included the complete hadith whenever he recorded it. He would not break it into little parts. He would always give you the entire hadith from the beginning to the end. Okay, he would not break it into little parts. This is Al-Imam Muslim. Well, as I mentioned earlier, for the reasons of fiqh, benefits from fiqh reasoning, Al-Bukhari would split the book, split the hadith into many different parts and use it whenever applicable. There's also another aspect related to Sahih Muslim, which is beneficial aspect, is in Sahih Muslim, you'll only find one mu'alliq hadith. Only one hadith hanging. Only one suspended hadith. Okay? While in Al-Bukhari you will find many, many, many mu'alliq hadith. How many? I'm glad you asked me that. 1,341 mu'alliq hadith in Sahih Bukhari. Where's Sahih Bukhari? Where'd it go? It's here. Abu Kareem, can I have Sahih Bukhari, please?
Or the last aspect,
Return. In some ways, Muslim can be considered superior. This is why the Western. In other ways, technically speaking, from technical point of view, I think Al-Bukhari has to be considered. Let's see if this works now. Mu'alliq. See, I hope this works. Just going to flip around and find mu'alliq hadith. Mu'alliq hadith means that one of the ends of the chain is not there. It's missing the end of the chain. Of the isnad. Could be the beginning, could be the end, could be the whole. Could be the whole isnad. Okay, read this chapter. Listen to this chapter that Brother Nayef will read to you in both English and Arabic. Listen to this.
The whole chapter?
No, just... Oh, listen to this. Don't be shy to speak up. Muhawarat, they have... Yes?
باب كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا لم يقاتل أول النهار أخر القتال حتى تزول الشمس.
طيب. In English, if the Prophet had not started fighting during the early hours of the day, he would delay it till the sun had declined. Any comments about that?
Delay what?
Fighting. Any comments? Where is the isnad? Okay, there's no isnad. Let's just flip to another page here somewhere. Since I picked a bad volume. What?
You say one of the ends of the isnad, either the beginning or the end.
Or the whole. If the whole isnad is missing, you're missing a big...
باب ما ذكر عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعصاه وسيفه وقدحه
Maybe he mentioned the same hadith or another part of the hadith.
Okay, the point is that it's very easy to open. Just a minute. Point is, it's very easy to open. But I picked the wrong volume. It's very easy to open the book of Al-Bukhari and find a mu'alliq hadith. and it does not take long because there are so many mu'allaq hadith. For example, this one, and that's the whole chapter. Don't tell me maybe it's in the chapter. This is the whole chapter. Read it.
This is the whole chapter.
This is the whole chapter because it's the
على باب قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لليهود أسلموا تسلموا قاله المقبري عن أبي
هريرة. Notice that at the end, what did he say? Before that. المقبري عن أبي هريرة. Obviously, this is معلق. How come?
Because he didn't
leave with.
He didn't meet
المقبري. Exactly, he did not meet المقبري. We know that because المقبري from Abu Huraira, there's not enough people to reach البخاري. So there are many mu'allaqat in Sahih al-Bukhari. The question is, how do we deal with these mu'allaqat? Okay. Oh. Okay. From the mu'allaqat, most of them are found someplace else in Sahih al-Bukhari with a complete chain. Most of them.
You said that sometime in the
beginning. يعني, for example, sometimes he would put it in mu'allaq form, and for many reasons he would put it in mu'allaq form. Maybe we'll get into those. But there are still 160 mu'allaq hadith in Sahih Bukhari which are not included with a complete isnad anywhere in Sahih Bukhari. Well, next time, inshallah, we'll begin with those 160 hadith.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت